I'd like this evening to turn to the book of John, chapter 13. Book of John, chapter 13. We'll read verses 1 through 5, and then verses 12 through 17. John, chapter 13. Begin reading verses 1 through 5. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then in verse 12 through verse 17, so after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. This is one of the most memorable incidents in all the Word of God. What we see here is Jesus gathered with the 12 in an upper room to celebrate one final meal together before he would go to the cross. Now, Jesus, prior to John 13, had sent Peter and John to prepare for this meal. Notice in Mark chapter 14, we'll keep a mark there in John 13, but Mark 14, we'll read verses 13 through verse 15. And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. Now this upper room would be prepared for the Passover. Peter and John did not have to prepare the room. The room would already be prepared for the Passover. In other words, leaven has been removed. There, now this is what Peter and John were to do. There, make ready for us. That is, you prepare the meal. Now notice in the book of Luke, chapter 22, we have Luke's account. Luke 22, verses 8 through verse 12. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Wherewith thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say to the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There, that is, in that upper room of that particular house, there, make ready. So it was in this upper room of a particular house that had already been prepared for the observance of the Passover, It was in this upper room of this particular house where John chapter 13 and John 14 take place. So we need to realize that what we read here in John 13 is taking place in this upper room. Now, in the verses that we read for our text, we see Jesus does something there in verse 4 and verse 5. And then he called upon his disciples to imitate his example. That's what we read in verses 12 through 16. And then he closes in verse 17 informing them that this is where happiness is found, by knowing certain things and by doing certain things. So in this chapter, we see Jesus Christ is our example. He is our pattern. He is our model in serving the Lord. He is our example. He is our pattern. He is our model in living life. He is what we are to aim for. That's true of all of us that are saved. He is what we are to aim for. So I want to speak tonight on the subject of aiming higher by stooping lower. Because that's exactly what Jesus did here, was that he stooped lower. And we are to aim to be like Jesus. And the best way to do that is for you and I to stoop lower. So aiming higher by stooping lower. Now Jesus finished his life upon earth with no reserve. He had nothing left. He had nothing left to give. He gave it all. We ought to be able to finish our life with no reserve. That is, we ought to give all. Jesus also finished his life with no regrets. Had none. He was perfect. He was God. In this message, we want to draw insight from the example of Jesus Christ, what we read here in this passage, on how we too can finish our life in a similar fashion, with no reserve, no regrets. That's how we ought to want to finish our life. It's sad, but most people, when it comes to their dying hour, they have many, 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 many regrets. And it's sad. And I suppose we all will to some degree because we're not God. But we ought to want to live in such a way that we have few regrets when it comes time to leave this life. And I believe if we give our lives entirely to God, when it comes time to die, we'll have few regrets. You won't regret serving the Lord. I've never known anybody that's regretted serving God on their deathbed. Never. I've never known anybody who's regretted going to church during their life. Those who raise their kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, those aren't things that they regret. They regret that they didn't do these things. So, by following Jesus' example, we too can leave this life in similar fashion as he did. The first thing we want to notice tonight is what Jesus did in this passage. First of all, to set the scene of what had transpired. Again, Jesus had sent Peter and John to an upper room of a particular house. This house was already prepared for the Passover, and Peter and John were to prepare for the Passover meal. And before considering what we have just read here in these verses in John 13, it's important to know the custom of the day. It was a custom, of course, of the host to provide a servant at the door. The responsibility of this servant was to wash the feet of the guest for the dinner party. And this was necessary, of course, because in those days people wore sandals and they walked down dusty roads. And then when they got to the house where the dinner was to take place, they reclined. They didn't sit in chairs like we do. They reclined. And their table was 12 to 18 inches off the ground. Really, their feet were almost in the face of the person reclining next to them. So it was very necessary. It was very necessary for their feet to be cleansed, for their feet to be washed. So having a foot washer at the door to greet the guest was a standard practice. Just like we will have someone at the door of your home when you're entertaining folks, when you're having people come over, you'll take their coats and you'll hang them up. Similar, except here they wash people's feet. That was the need of the time. And this foot washing was reserved for the lowest of servants. And the lowest of servants in those days were Gentile servants, not even Jewish people, but Gentile servants. And they were usually women or children. So that's who this foot washing was reserved for, the lowest of Gentile servants. So Jesus and his disciples arrive at this particular house. Peter and John have already prepared the Passover meal. Jesus and the disciples climb the stairs to get to this upper room. And we can just picture it. The first disciple walks in the door. No one there to wash his feet. He can see the towel. He can see the water basin. But there was nobody to wash his feet. And I'm sure this first disciple probably thought, Peter and John should have taken care of this. Where is the servant to wash my feet? So this first disciple walks in, he sees the towel, he sees the water basin, but he does not see anybody there to wash his feet. So what does he do? What does he do? Does he wash his own feet? Obviously not. He could have, but he didn't. Does he take the place of the servant and then wash everybody's feet that follows? Could have, but he didn't. Because Jesus fulfilled this need. So this first disciple walks in. He sees that there is no foot washer. But he can see the towel. He can see the water basin. So he could have very easily gone over, picked up the towel, put water in the basin, and washed his own feet, and he could have very easily washed the feet of others. But I believe he says to himself, I'm above such a task. I'm not about to wash the feet of these behind me. It's not my responsibility to wash everyone's feet. Peter and John should have taken care of this. This is an oversight on Peter and John's part. And I'm sure a lot of things perhaps went through their mind. But seeing the towel, seeing the water basin, he could have washed his own feet. He could have taken on the position of the servant and washed everybody else's feet, but he doesn't do any of those things. What does he do? He hurries to get to the best spot at the table. It's exactly what he did. The second disciple comes in, same thing. You come in the door, you're expecting there to be a servant to wash your feet. He looks all around, there's no servant. He can see the towel, he can see the water basin. What does he do? Does the same thing the first disciple did. He rushes to the table, gets the best seat that's available, and reclines, makes himself at home, makes himself comfortable. And I believe each disciple did the same thing. They all file in with their dirty feet. They all go right past the towel. They all walk right past the water basin. And they recline at the table, making themselves comfortable. Now, you don't have to be in church very long. A week will do. You don't have to be in church very long to find out that this spirit is very common. This is a common spirit in churches today. So there sit the disciples, or there they are reclined. They all have dirty feet. Some of them, if not every one of them, is thinking, someone should have washed my feet. I'm sure they're all thinking that. Someone should have washed my feet. At least they should have washed Jesus' feet. Someone should have done that. But they all, as they reclined at the table, they could still each see the towel. They could still each see the water basin. But not one of them, not a single one of them, went over to the towel, picked it up, and put water in the basin and proceeded to wash the feet of their brothers. Not one. They could see that there was a need. Everyone could see that. They can see the dirty feet. But though they could see the need, not one of them was willing to do what was needed. Not one. For whatever reason, they could each see that there was a problem. And they could each see the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is right there in that towel in the water basin. All you got to do is get up, go over there, pick up the towel, put water in the basin, and proceed to wash the feet. No more problem. But no one does this. Not one of them was willing to do what was necessary. Not one of them was willing to take care of the problem. Each and every one of them had the opportunity. They each had the opportunity to go over and pick up the towel, pour some water in the basin, and wash the feet of the others. They each had that opportunity. However, none of them did it. They each had the opportunity to stoop to the level of a servant and do what was necessary. But not one of them did so. There they are. They are reclined at the table, hoping that someone will go over and pick up the towel, put water in the water basin, and wash their feet. Now you think about this picture. They have been with Jesus Christ for 3 years. 3 years of sermon after sermon from Christ. 3 years of illustration after illustration from Christ. 3 years of example upon example of Jesus Christ and what it is to serve. And not one of them was willing to stoop. And that's what it would require. This is a service that would require somebody to stoop to the level of the lowest of servants. And not one of them did this. And sadder yet, not one of them was humble enough to go over, pick up the towel, pour water in the basin, and go and wash the feet of Jesus Christ. Not one. Not Peter and John, not Thomas and Andrew, none. None of them were willing to do this. Not one of them was humble enough to go over, pick up the towel, pour water in the basin, and even wash the feet of Jesus. Not one of them was humble enough to do that. And I believe pride was a problem here, and we're going to see that. The root problem, I believe, behind their lack of initiative is seen in the discussion that the disciples had amongst themselves prior to this. Notice in the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 34. Mark 9, verse 34. Now this would have been prior to what we read in John chapter 13. But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. But you see, that problem still existed, because the very night of the Passover, they had this same discussion. Notice in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 24. Luke 22, verse 24. Now, this is the night of the Passover. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. You see, there was a problem. There was a problem of pride. The reason no one went over and picked up the towel, put water in the basin, and washed the feet of the others is because they were proud, they were self-centered, and they were insecure in themselves, and they were not secure enough to embrace the job of a servant. If I do that, if I go over and pick up that towel and put water in a basin and get down on my hands and knees and wash the feet of these other men, what's that do to my dignity? What's that do to my name? What's it going to look like? You see, that's where they were. Because they were concerned about who was the greatest. The truth is, they were fearful of being a servant. That's common today. That's common. There are God's people. There are God's people sitting here right now. You are afraid. You are afraid to stoop and serve for whatever reason. I believe it goes back to pride, self-centeredness, and insecurity. People are afraid to serve. Then notice, Jesus sets the example. Again, there was a need. It was not hard to see what was wrong. It was not hard to see what needed to be done. And Jesus took the appropriate action. Jesus gave them an example. Notice in verse 15, he says, "For I have given you an example." That is what Jesus did that night. He says, "I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." What Jesus is saying there in verse 15 is, you see what I have just done? Be like me. Be like me. That's the lesson to all the apostles in that upper room that night. So let's look at what Jesus did. In verse 4 and verse 5, there's seven things that he did. We read, first of all, he riseth from supper. He riseth from supper. What that means is, he left the comfort of the table. He left the comfort. You picture them all reclined around this table. He riseth from supper. That's where it begins. You have to be willing to leave your comfort zone. No one will serve the Lord like they ought to. No one will serve others like they ought to. No one will be what they ought to be. and no one will do what they ought to do until they leave their comfort zone. And we've spoken this many times. We all have them. We all have our comfort zones. We nestle in and we're satisfied to stay there. It doesn't matter what needs to be done. I'm not leaving my comfort zone. Jesus got up from the supper. Then notice the second thing he did, and laid aside his garments. He gets up from the supper and he takes off his outer robe in order to serve. You have to be willing to lay something aside. You see, that's our problem today with many. The reason they can see there's a need, they can see that somebody ought to do something, but don't you understand? I'm busy. You've got to be willing to lay something aside. People only want to serve if it doesn't cost them anything. If, as long as they don't have to lay anything aside, I'll be there. Sign me up. But as soon as it requires laying something aside, the commitment's gone. He laid aside his garment. Now again, one of our biggest problems today is that we're too busy. Too busy in this world. It's a big problem. It's a big problem in the Lord's churches. It's a big problem in the service of the Lord. Almost everyone here has a full plate of activity. But a servant has to deny himself something. He has to, if you're going to serve, you have to have the time to do so. What that means is you have to lay aside the time to do so. You'll never serve until you're willing to lay aside the time that is required. Well, I'm busy. So is everybody else. But how many are willing to lay aside the time? It takes energy to serve. It would take some time, not very much, but it would take some time for somebody to get up from the table, go over, pick up the towel, pour water in the basin, and wash the other's feet. That would take some time. You have to be willing to lay aside that time. It would take some effort. It would take some energy. You have to be willing to put forth that energy. So he rose from the supper. He laid aside his garments, his outer garments. And then we read, he took a towel. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is, he girded himself with that towel. And the fifth thing is that he poureth water into a basin. Every one of those things, what he was doing was, he was making preparation to wash their feet. When he got up from supper, when he laid aside his garment, when he went over and picked up the towel, and then when he girded himself with the towel, that is, tucked it under, and then he poured water into the basin, what he was doing was he was making all the necessary preparations to do what was needed. And we have to do that. If we're going to serve, if we're going to serve God, if we're going to serve one another, if we're going to do what needs to be done, you have to make preparations to do so. And that's a big problem today. Many don't even prepare for such. And then we read, and notice verse 5, after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Perhaps the most important word in that verse, or the word that jumps out to me, is that word began. He began. If we're ever going to serve, at some point, you have to begin. You'll never serve if you do not begin to serve. We can talk about serving. They could have sat around all night talking about how somebody should have washed their feet. But if you're ever going to get something done, you have to begin. Not just talking. They could have discussed it. They could think about it. They could contemplate it. But somewhere along the line, you can do all of those things, but somewhere, you've got to begin. You can hear sermons about it, about how we ought to serve, and you can go and say, wow, that was great, I agreed with that. But somewhere you have got to begin. Hearing a sermon about it is not going to get the job done. You have to begin. And Jesus began to wash their feet. We can say, well, I'll pray about it. Well, somewhere along the line, you've got to do more than pray. You've got to do something. And that's what Jesus did. My point is, if we're ever going to serve, at some point we must start doing it. You can talk about it all your life. And come the end of your life, you're going to have plenty of reserve because you never began. And at the end of your life, you're going to have plenty of regrets because you never, ever began. So we've got to begin. So Jesus goes over, gets the towel, girds himself with the towel, he fills the water basin, and he washes the disciples' feet, and then he dries them off with the towel. Jesus takes the place of the lowest servant. Jesus, the one who uses the heavens for his throne and the earth for his footstool, goes over and picks up the towel and does everything necessary and then begins to wash the feet of the disciples. Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, the Lord of Lords. Jesus, the one who is the source of all things. The one by whom all things consist. He takes the position of a servant, kneeling down at the feet. Kneeling down at the feet of those who would deny him that very night. Kneeling down at the feet of those who would desert him that very night. And he washes their feet. I'm sure that everyone that was reclined around that table had already justified in their mind why it was not their job, why it was not their responsibility to wash their brother's feet. But Jesus did what was necessary. And in order to do what was necessary, he had to stoop. And no one has ever stooped lower than Jesus Christ. No one. No one ever will. So Jesus does this, and then he issues a call there in verses 12 through 17. He issues a call for them to imitate his example. In verse 1, we need to see the significance of what Jesus did. In verse 1, we read that he loved them unto the end. When Jesus stooped to wash the dirty feet of the disciples, he was expressing love. Best way to express love is to serve. You can talk about love all you want to, but the best way to express love is to stoop and serve. He showed the extent of his love. After he had risen from the table, after he had taken the towel and filled the water basin with water and kneeled down and washed the feet of those who would deny him and desert him, notice in verse 12, he turned to them and asked, "Know ye what I have done to thee?" He looks right at them and says, "Do you know what I have just done? Do you know what I have just done for you?" You see, what Jesus did goes beyond these disciples getting their feet washed. Goes way beyond that. What Jesus did that night goes beyond these disciples having their needs met. What Jesus did that night was an example. He was an example of a mindset, a willingness to serve. It was an example about becoming something, becoming a servant. He was teaching them, this is what you need to do to become a servant. You have to stoop. You have to stoop to serve. And then Jesus drives home the point. In verse 13 and 14, he said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's." What he's saying is, you have rightly called me Lord and Master. You have rightly put me upon a pedestal of Lord and Master. But if I am willing to step down from that pedestal, if I am willing to step down from that pedestal and wash your feet, shouldn't you, mere man, be willing to stoop to wash one another's feet? This is what Jesus is saying. In verse 15, he tells them that when he rose from the table, took the towel, filled the basin with water, and washed their feet, that he left them an example to follow. Now, Jesus was an example in all areas of his life. But we're told some things here in John chapter 13, which I believe are significant if we're ever going to stoop low enough to serve. We are told that Jesus knew some things. Notice in verse 1, Jesus knew that his hour was come, talking about the cross. He knew that it was time to depart out of this world unto the Father. Verse 3, he knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. He knew that he was come from God. And he knew that he would return to God. Jesus lived a life knowing his purpose. He knew exactly for what he came to this world. If we know, if you and I are fully aware of our purpose, you won't have any problem stooping to serve. But you see, that's the problem today. Many do not know their purpose. The purpose of your life is far, far greater than your own personal fulfillment. If that's all you think life is about, is your personal fulfillment, you will never serve. You will never stoop to serve because you will not find personal fulfillment in stooping. But our purpose in life goes beyond personal fulfillment. It goes beyond your peace of mind. Oh, I just want peace of mind. That's not your purpose. That's not the reason God put you here. Oh, I just want to be happy. That's not the reason that God put you here. It's just to be happy. You see, people of that mindset, they're stuck on them. They're stuck on themselves. You see, our purpose goes beyond our fulfillment. It goes beyond peace of mind. It goes beyond happiness. Believe it or not, your purpose goes beyond your family. It goes beyond that. Your purpose goes beyond your career. Your purpose goes beyond your ambition. If you want to know what your purpose in life is, you have to begin with God. That's your purpose. God. Your purpose is to serve God. Jesus, the greatest servant that ever lived, knew his purpose. And we need to know ours. And I'm sorry, but I don't believe that those disciples sitting in that upper room that night knew their purpose. And most people sitting in Baptist churches today do not know the real reason that God has left them here. We see that Jesus was an example in humility. What he taught them was that they needed to humble themselves in order to get down where the need is and to do something about it. And that's what Jesus did that night. He stooped low enough to get down where the need was and to do something about it. And he left us an example. Again, these disciples are all reclined around this table. They could all see the dirty feet. Look around tonight. Look around. Can you see? Can you see any needs that perhaps you can meet? Perhaps you can do something about? Is there someone near you, figuratively speaking, who needs their feet washed? So, well, I didn't notice. No, that's a part of the problem today. Folks don't notice. And the reason they don't notice is because it doesn't involve them, and that's where they're stuck. But look around. Do you see somebody? I can help them. Are you willing to stoop low enough to help them? Is there some practical service that you could do to make a person's burden lighter? You see somebody and you can tell they're burdened. Is there something I can do? Is there something you can do to make their burden lighter? Is there something we can do to help them carry their burden? Are we willing to stoop low enough to help them carry the burden? Well, I don't have time. I'm busy. You've got to lay aside some things. Are you willing to lay aside time and energy to fulfill a need? Well, I'm just not comfortable about that. Are you willing to leave your comfort zone to help someone? To help fulfill a need. You see, in order to minister to people, you have to be willing to stoop. In order to serve God, you have to be willing to stoop. And again, no one has stooped lower than Jesus Christ. In the Lord's service, there are no tasks beneath us. Nothing. Just as John the Baptist says, I'm not worthy to unloose the latchets of his shoes. That was a service, again, reserved for the lowest of servants. And John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy
and we're not. None of us are worthy to do anything. There is nothing beneath us. Nothing. But we don't always believe that. Many times we think, oh, no, I'm too good for that. No, you're not. None of us are. Jesus was an example in showing that there is no time when we are not to serve. You think about it, that night, Jesus Christ knew everything that was going to happen. He knew he was about to be arrested. He knew that the very ones in that room were going to forsake him. He knew that he was headed to the cross. Jesus was facing something that night that you and I cannot even begin to imagine. Can't even begin. When it would have been normal for Jesus Christ to be consumed with his own concerns, it was that night. But not even then. Not even then was Jesus concerned about himself. He was still focused on the needs of others. Your whole world might be falling apart. But do not take the attitude, I've got my own problems, I can't help them. I don't have time. I've got my own problems. I've got my own needs. Don't you see? Jesus Christ was about to go to the cross. And he helped the very ones. He stooped to serve the very ones that were going to forsake him that night. He stooped to serve. And in so doing, he left us an example. There's never a time in our life, whatever else might be going on, whatever other burdens you might have, whatever other sorrows you might have, that does not justify you from ignoring the whole world. That does not exempt you from service. We're always to be ready. We're always be willing to stoop. In closing, I believe one of the main lessons that the Lord teaches us here in John chapter 13. Again, I picture these individuals reclined around this table. They can see the towel, they can see the water basin, they can see the dirty feet. But they were merely spectators, that's all they were. That's what they were. I believe the Lord teaches us that we're not to be merely spectators of religion. We are to be participants of a faith. Participants of what we believe. A lot of people will be quick to tell you what they believe and then they sit back as a spectator. We need to be participants. Participants. You need to see your faith as more than a religion. You need to see it as a way of life. You need to see it as a lifestyle. You see, in a religion, you just simply go through certain rituals. In a religion, you go through certain motions. And you do that because you feel that you have to. And I'm sorry, but I'm afraid that's all that some folks have. Some sitting here tonight, that's all you have. You have a religion. You have a religion and you are content to just go through some rituals, to go through some motions. And you do that because what will they think if I don't? That's a religion. That's all it is. But when faith is a lifestyle, it becomes our passion. It becomes our passion. It rules our heart. It rules our mind. It controls the dictates of what you do and what you do not do. Faith. So many are content with being spectators. And you'll notice about spectators. You turn on, you can, in this country, we have a country full of spectators. They'll go to, you'll have a bunch of overweight people sitting at a football game, 70,000 of them, who badly need to get in shape, criticizing those who are in shape, and content to just be a spectator. And by being a spectator, they know everything about it. What's going on? That also happens in our churches. You have spectators. Oh, they know how it should be done. They even know when it should be done. But they don't do it. They're just spectators. They have a religion. We need participants. Somebody has to get out of that recliner and begin to do something. And that somebody in John 13 was Jesus. But he's our example. Again, our importance in life is not in some position that we hold. That's not what makes us important. What makes us important is not a title or a degree. That's not what matters. Our position is not really what matters. Our title, our degree is not really what matters. What really matters is how low am I willing to stoop to serve. That's what really matters. When it comes down to the end of your life, what matters is not what title you held. What's going to matter is how you lived your life, whether or not you served the Lord. And then notice, and we'll close in verse 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You see, we've got it all backwards. We get to thinking that, well, if I stoop that low, that'll be my job from now on. You're probably right. Probably will be. If you do something in a Baptist church, more than likely, that'll be your job for however long you're at that church. More than likely. Not always. But more than likely. But don't let that bother you. Because you're not worthy to do that. What a privilege. What a privilege. What an honor it is to serve. How far are we willing tonight to stoop? First and foremost, to serve the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, if you serve one another, you do it as you did it to me. If you give one of these, a drink of water, it's like giving a drink of water to Christ. How far are we willing to stoop to serve one another? Because we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as a body of Christ to serve one another. Are we willing? Are we willing to stoop to serve? Or are we going to be content to be a spectator? We've got enough spectators. We need participants. People who are going to live what they believe. Participate in what they believe. What an honor we have tonight to be able to stoop to serve the Lord. And I believe Jesus Christ counted it an honor. I don't understand it, but I believe that Jesus Christ, as high and lofty as he was, counted it an honor. Stoop and wash the feet of those who would desert him that very night. And if he counted it an honor, if I be your Lord and Master, ought we not to do the same for one another? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.